And we turn now to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Hear again God's word. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other as well. And if anyone sues you in a court of law and takes away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who would borrow from you, do not turn away. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We are in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ is applying the law to our hearts. He is seeking to confront our low-key interpretations of the law and applications of the law. He is confronting those through hyperbole. He is making grand, intense, confrontative statements that cause us to react because our flesh doesn't want to consider what that might mean for us. This is the effort that he is putting toward the Pharisees in his day, who had everything about serving God and following God down to a science. And Christ is breaking that open. He's pouring it down into our hearts, but he is ultimately nudging us, dare I even say, shoving us toward greater righteousness. That's the goal. Greater living out the law of God. Greater joy in loving God through obeying his word. That is Christ's goal for us, even as we come to these verses today, 38 through 42, where we are being encouraged, brothers and sisters, in personal dealings, be merciful, knowing that you will suffer irrecoverable loss. In personal dealings, be merciful, be loving, knowing that in doing so, you may suffer irrecoverable loss. In February, an Ohio woman, Shayna Bell, 24 years of age, left her 3-year-old and 7-year-old in the care of her 10-year-old in their room at the Motel 6 in which they were living, and went to work her job down the street at the Little Caesars. Her ex-husband, mad about a different matter, when he found out the situation, called the police. And subsequently, this young mother of three was arrested while at work, spent a night in the local jail, and charged with multiple counts of child endangerment. In other words, all that was allowable by law was enforced against her. We might say the book was thrown at her. Here, Christ is calling us to an understanding, a right understanding of law and our rights within the law and our personal endeavors within our rights under the law. So the first thing that we need to understand is is we need to know the extent of our rights by law. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. We find that in Exodus 21, verses 23 through 25. But if there is any serious injury, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. We find it again in the restating the Deuteronomy of the law. You must not show pity. It's in 19 verse 21. You must not show pity, but life will be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This is what's known in Latin as the lex talionis, the law of retaliation, where a punishment resembles the offense committed in kind and degree. In the passages in which those verses are that I read to you, what's being discussed is murder, manslaughter, accidental cause of the end of pregnancy. So that even in utero, there were rights that could be had. And so it's important for people to know that under the law, when these types of laws are enforced, that whatever they suffered, the court could enact on the one who was guilty of that crime. But see, there had been, growing up within the community of God's people, a misapplication of this law outside of the public courts, outside of public offenses against a person, and toward personal private offenses and personal revenge. And so rather than lay their case before the court and seek for justice under God's providential care of them through human instruments, people were going after revenge on their own. I will make them suffer. I will make them pay. I will take revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith Bob. And Christ saw the damage and the hatred going on in his people. And he called them not only to know the extent of their rights by law, but secondly, he called them to be merciful. Be merciful. See, Christ wants us to understand the effects of seeking retaliation or perfect justice rather than simple justice as can be applied by the courts. He says, but I say to you, and here comes that hyperbole that makes us cringe, that makes our flesh rise up within us and say, but that's not fair. Christ says to them, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. So how do we know that Christ is speaking in hyperbole? Well, we can look at the exposition of the Ten Commandments that we find even in the larger catechism, and we can see all of the items that flow out of thou shalt not murder, that it's for the protection of life, etc., etc. We can see all the applications of that law and see that at times we have to resist an evil person. If someone were to pull into the parking lot right now, as has happened numerous times around the world in the last several months, someone were to pull in and take out a firearm and start shooting into the crowd, people in this group would rise up and resist that evil person. And I would not stand here and say, guys. What did Jesus say? No. There are certain responsibilities that we have under the law, but what Christ is calling us to examine is our own sense of anger and rage at injustices against our holy character. How could they say that to me? How could they do that to me? See, Christ here is giving us a hyperbole that, if taken literally, would leave you naked, homeless, and destitute. One commentator said, Jesus' words in this case strike at the very core of human selfishness, summoning his disciples to value others above themselves in concrete and consistent ways. They have no honor or property worth defending compared with the opportunity to show how much they love God and everyone else. This is a simple application of Paul's words in Romans 12, where he says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In other words, our motivation is one of love. Our motivation is one of honoring Christ and his word, not rectifying what we feel to believe personal harms and abuses. So thirdly, know that loving others, know that being merciful will cause you to suffer. And Christ gives us some examples here, continuing the hyperbole. Perhaps you might suffer physical harm. But whoever strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other as well. Now, this is not calling you to submit yourself to physical abuse by others. But it is calling you to not punch back at everyone who's trying to start a fight. We have for us even the example of our Lord, who in a complete moment of complete injustice was being led to the cross and did not strike back at those who were offering, they were really overdoing the violence for the moment. Even had he been guilty unto death for some reason, the violent scourging, the taunting mocking was completely inappropriate for a human court. John Calvin on these words says, he tells us that the end of one contest will be the beginning of another, and that through the whole course of their life, believers must lay their account with sustaining many injuries in uninterrupted succession. When wrong has been done to them in a single instance, he wishes them to be trained by this example to meek submission, that by suffering they may learn to be patient. And perhaps you have met those folks who are concerned for utter absolute justice in all matters concerning themselves, and of the conflicts in their life, there is never an end, because there is never perfect justice in this life. We must constantly be trusting Christ in the offenses that we feel in this life. Know that loving others and being merciful will cause you to suffer, perhaps material damages. And if anyone sues you in a court of law and takes away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Hatred leads to all sorts of insane activity. Just open the newspaper every day. Log on to a news site and see the crazy things that people do every day, because they are mad about something that happened to them. And here Christ is giving us this hyperbole. Hey, someone sues you and takes your business, give them your house too. Can you imagine having a heart of generosity when people are coming at you trying to take away what's rightfully yours? Know that loving others and being merciful will cause you to suffer perhaps trampled rights. The Roman government, the Roman soldiers were allowed to conscript citizens of the nations that they had occupied to serve their soldiers. They could ask them to carry their goods or their pack or whatever it might be and carry it for a certain distance or length of time. You can imagine the way that this was used to humiliate the members of the society that Rome had occupied. Now you can imagine if the Montgomery County Police were to pull in here and say, hey, I need a few of you guys to carry some stuff up the road, and there was nothing that we could do about it. Says, I need you to carry this down to Route 1, downtown Laurel. Okay. And can you imagine the shock on their face if when we got there, we didn't put it down and we just looked at them like, well, what's next? And they said, well, give us our stuff back. And we said, well, we'll carry it over to Maryland City. We'll carry it over to 295 if you need us to. What? Aren't you mad? Aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you angered that we humbled you by making you pack mules in our service? But again, here, this heart of generosity, this heart of love for those who would even seek to abuse that privilege. Christ, in a sense, almost says, abuse that privilege for them. They may not think to ask you to do more than what they're allowed to by law. You do more than what's allowed by law for them. Know that loving others and being merciful will cause you to suffer perhaps even financial loss. Oh, physical harm, okay. Material damages, maybe. Trampled rights we can deal with, but don't touch my money. Don't touch my money. I worked hard for that. Well, you worked hard and God gave you that. Give to him who asks you, and from him who would borrow from you, do not turn away. The financial loss of being merciful to others, to loving others. An illustration from my own life that I remember was in my time at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and there are folks looking for help everywhere. Everywhere. And as a young 18, 19-year-old from a small town in Ohio, it can be overwhelming. I did have a very tender heart once. I wish you would have known me back then. I wanted to help people. I didn't want to deny people if I could help them. And I didn't do it all the time. I remember one time being on a first and consequently last date where I got into a conversation with a drunk man who told me, while standing outside of a liquor store, that he needed money for diapers for his baby. And I confronted him and said, you're not going to use that money for diapers for your baby. You're just going to buy more booze. It was a little awkward for the girl that I had on that date. But so one night I decided I had made an oath, we might say, with the Lord, and said, when people ask me directly for money, like, not, they're not just standing there looking, but if they come and they ask me directly for money, I'll give them whatever change I have in my pockets. That's what I'll do. So one night, my friends and I were headed over to Tempo, our little pancake house that was open all night. We were going to study and hang out and spend some time. And I looked at the top of my dresser in my dorm room, and there was all this change that had been accumulating for weeks. And I thought, I can pay for in change. You remember that? Being in college, I can pay in change and not have to break any bills. So I grab all this change. It was like $10 or $12 in change that I put in my pockets, ready to go have pancakes with my friends. We're a few blocks from campus, about halfway to the restaurant. And about a half, three quarters of a block away, here comes a homeless man the other way. And from probably 20 yards away, he looks up and locks eyes with me. And I'm in the back of a group of about 15 people. And he walks, staring me down the whole way, and walks right up to me, nose to nose, and says, "Do you have any change to help me tonight?" And I did not want to give to him who was asking me. But I knew what I had told the Lord. So my friends stood there in horror as I started emptying all this change. Because I said, whatever change I have, I'll give. If it was 2 pennies, I'd give that. If it was a dollar, I'd give that. If it was 10, 12 bucks, I would give that. I tried not to carry change. So you see, my heart was still sinful. After that night, I tried not to carry change. But see, this is the heart that God is calling us to, that is painful. Someone asks for help, and we want to figure out every reason why we should not give them the help that they are simply asking for. Friends, if any verse in Scripture calls you to pray for the deacons of the church, let it be this one, that God would grant them wisdom and joy in the ministry that they have, because it is a challenge to discern, to try to rightfully care for. They have a job of guarding the resources of the church, and yet they're also called to give those liberally. Pray for them, that God would sustain them and give them joy in their ministry. But you will suffer as you seek to be merciful, as you seek to show the love of Christ more so than the care and concern for your own reputation, your own rights, the things that you could demand when we are tempted, eye for eye, and so I'm going to get that eye from that person, tooth for tooth, I'm going to knock that dental feature out of their head, to pause and be humbled in love and meekness and care. See, too often we pursue what we call justice in the name of honoring God's law, when really it's just about protecting ourselves. It's more about retaliation, about revenge, than it is about biblical love or justice. So 4 and 5 today. 1, know the extent of your rights by law. 2, be merciful, be loving. 3, know that loving others will cause you to suffer. 4 and 5. Number 4 is how to apply this. And number 5 will be how not to apply this. How to apply this. We need to be careful with hyperbole. Christ is using statements that are a bit outlandish to cause us to be challenged by how we love others. Are we willing to sacrifice what we deserve, not just in our own perspective, but by the law's perspective? Are we willing to sacrifice those things for the sake of others, if necessary? Another great way to apply this, to understand this, is in Matthew 18. And how we go to others biblically, to talk to them, to speak to them when there's been a personal offense. And to go to them and seek reconciliation, not retaliation. To seek to maintain the relationship above other issues at stake. Read the book Peacemakers by Ken Sandy. Get some perspective and some help and some parameters to better know how to live this out. And to do so, to seek to live this out of love. Not, but they deserve to have whatever happened to them, but to seek to make peace with our brothers and sisters. And this might lead you to one of the most painful sometimes, but what really is a great way to establish peace with another person, which is overlooking a sin. When we overlook the sin of another, we choose to live as if they have confessed it and put it under the blood of Christ, even when they haven't. We choose to overlook it, to move on from it. And in our book of discipline for our church, as it lays out the principles of discipline, it touches on something. It says this: not everything displeasing to an individual is ground for formal disciplinary process. Remember, brothers and sisters, just because you don't like what someone is doing or how they are doing it doesn't mean that they are sinning or sinning against you. And so all the more reason to practice overlooking. So those are some ways to apply that. How not to apply this? Well, don't apply this to others for them. In other words, don't you be the judge in whether or not someone should use various means to pursue justice. Don't you be the judge of where their heart is in the actions they are taking. Especially, don't apply this wrongly to the vulnerable, particularly to the widow and the orphan. We are called to valiant efforts on the behalf of widows and orphans. We are called to great deeds of kindness and perhaps even valor to protect them and to care for them, particularly if they are having violence enacted against them or if they are suffering abuse. And don't apply this in such a way that you can look away when the honor of Christ's church is being marred. Just like we shouldn't apply eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth in a personal way, a private way, when it's meant to be applied through the courts. Don't apply turn the other cheek when we're dealing with public sin in the church that's destroying the testimony of God. So we see that Christ, while using hyperbole, is also calling us to balance, is calling us to rightly weigh. Those of us who like flowcharts in life, these are difficult passages to process because Christ doesn't tell us if this, then that. He calls us to biblical wisdom in how to love others and be merciful when they are coming at us in ways that we don't like. That's not the end, as I shared earlier, of the story of Shayna Bell. Just a couple of weeks ago, Shayna Bell's case came before a judge, and the charges against her were dropped. At a pretrial hearing, the judge said this: "When the matter arose, I was personally offended that this young woman was arrested and taken to jail instead of just being served with a summons. That should never have happened. People with more serious offenses are not being taken to jail at this time. Based on everything I know about the case, it could have been handled a lot differently. I think Miss Bell learned a lesson here. It was a lesson that should have been learned, that should not have been learned in the jail, but by interaction with children's services." And all God's people said, "I didn't think we had judges like that anymore." This man was not interested in throwing the book and throwing at this poor young mother everything that the law could. He was interested in real justice. and real care of people through the law, so much so that he dropped the charges against her. Friend, as you reflect on your own life today, perhaps the conflicts that are surrounding you, whose charges do you need to drop? Who do you need to go to and seek not retaliation, but reconciliation? Who do you need to pursue out of love and not a sense of personal, perfect justice? In our personal dealings, brothers and sisters, we are called to be merciful. But we do so knowing that we may suffer irrecoverable loss. But let me submit to you that whatever we lose in pursuing reconciliation over retaliation is worth losing. It's worth the loss for the growth of love and Christian community between you and another sinner who's just as sinful as you. Stand with me as we pray. Father, help us in a world that is using every unbiblical means to seek perfect justice, to be men and women and boys and girls of mercy and love, and to consider the opportunity to love others greater than the opportunity to pursue perfect justice. Help us, Lord, as we process the conflicts around us, the issues before us, to apply this passage in significant and meaningful ways, we pray in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.